It's Wednesday, the 2nd of October, and this is the Monocle Minute today.
I don't know anything at all about conversations that Scott Morrison has had with Donald Trump, but I'm afraid these days is not the sort of thing that I'm privy to.
Australia finds itself caught in Washington's impeachment crossfire for the second time. We'll take a closer look at this complex web of international intrigue. Plus, why wearing a red beret could get you arrested in Uganda. And we'll look at a referendum in Venice that could see the city sliced up. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. For just about 3 years since the day Donald Trump was inaugurated, the left has worked tirelessly to end his administration by non-democratic means if necessary, very much including impeachment.
Impeachment proceedings against Donald Trump have taken yet another surprising twist after it was revealed that the US president asked the Australian Prime Minister to assist with an investigation into the origins of the Russia inquiry, led by Robert Mueller.
We have some breaking news from the United States, Lisa. It concerns another phone call President Trump has made.
And this call was made to Australia's Prime Minister, Scott Morrison.
A spokesperson confirmed that the request was made, saying that the government has always been ready to assist and cooperate with efforts that help shed further light on matters under investigation. Scott Lucas is a professor of international relations at the University of Birmingham.
On the surface, Trump and his advisors will say, well, no, Trump was simply asking for Australian help in what was an official investigation of the Justice Department headed by Attorney General William Barr about the origins of the Trump-Russia inquiry. You might remember the inquiry that led to the Mueller report, but critics of Trump will say that that investigation by Barr is itself politically motivated, that they are trying to undermine and stigmatize the Mueller report by going after the FBI officials who actually carried out the investigation of the links between the Trump campaign and the Russians in 2016.
Tonight, new reporting about how U.S. authorities may have first learned about Russia's attempts to meddle in the 2016 election, reportedly because of what a former Trump campaign advisor told an Australian diplomat at this London wine bar in May of 2016.
It's the second time Australia has been caught in the crossfire surrounding Donald Trump's alleged ties with Russia. In May 2016, George Papadopoulos, a young, brash, and by some reports underqualified advisor to the Trump campaign, met Alexander Downer, Australia's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, at the Kensington Wine Rooms in London. At some point during the meeting, Papadopoulos delivered an extraordinary revelation to Downer. Russia, he said, was in possession of information that would surely embarrass Hillary Clinton and damage her campaign. Alexander Downer, being a career diplomat and a former Australian foreign minister for the Conservative Howard government, relayed the episode back to his colleagues in Canberra and, with their permission, informed the FBI. It was that revelation from Papadopoulos that, in no small way, sparked the Russia inquiry led by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Downer has since departed his post here in the UK. In the years since, he's been targeted endlessly by Papadopoulos and various fringes of the internet with claims that he's a spy or an errand boy working on behalf of the Clintons. He told Australia's Radio National this week that he's got very little else to say on the matter.
I've got nothing to say about it beyond what I've ever said. I don't know anything at all about conversations that Scott Morrison has had with Donald Trump. That I'm afraid these days is not the sort of thing that I'm privy to. It's not just that I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I've just got nothing more to say about it. I mean, I had a conversation with this guy. I passed on the conversation or the element of that one element of the conversation to the Americans. And I mean, there's just nothing more to it.
So what do we know about this latest revelation that Donald Trump sought the assistance of Australia's Prime Minister? Scott Lucas says that, much like Trump's conversation with the Ukrainian president, it's possible that Scott Morrison was merely in polite agreement.
We don't have a transcript for the phone call with Scott Morrison, the Australian Prime Minister. We just know that, like the Ukraine transcript, it worried Trump officials so much they moved it into a highly secured area where few people could access it. But from the transcript of what the Ukraine president, Volodymyr Zelensky, said, what he did is he both flattered Trump and he said, yes, we will certainly look into this matter. In other words, the request to investigate Joe Biden, the request to investigate a conspiracy theory around the Democrats in 2016, while sort of fending Trump off. You know, Zelensky ends the conversation by saying, oh, how wonderful it would be to stay in Trump Tower, which he knows flatters Trump ego because Trump loves anything associated with his business. And of course, he says, I can certainly look up to you, Mr. Trump, in the way that you can deal with things. But that's the way you deal with Trump. It's almost like appeasing a five-year-old. And then you get onto the real business, which is how Zelensky protects himself in the Ukraine when he's facing Russian pressure as well as pressure from the White House. In the case of Australia, we don't have the full transcript, but I imagine Scott Morrison did the same thing. He said, yes, of course, I will consider talking to your Attorney General, Mr. Barr. I look forward to it. And thank you so much for hosting me on a state visit, which Morrison did in Washington only a few weeks ago.
To Uganda now, where it seems one's choice of headwear could carry severe consequences.
Wearing a handsome red beret in Uganda can lead to your arrest. The problem is less fashion faux pas, more overt political messaging via sartorial selection. Bobby Wine, whose real name is Robert Chagulani Sentamu, is a pop star turned politician who wants to run for the presidency of Uganda, an election set for 2021. Wine has taken to sporting a red beret, which has become part of his brand. But, say his opponents, the law clearly states that you only wear a red beret if you're in the military, and so he must desist. Indeed, there's a whole parade of Obotan bonnets on the list that also includes camo baseball caps and ceremonial forage hats. Wine is not willing to give up his headwear and says that the move to de-hat him proves that the incumbent president, Yoweri Museveni, is getting twitchy. It may sound silly, but clothing and accessories can make powerful statements. A brown shirt became the emblem of Nazi thugs, the umbrella a symbol of the democracy campaigners in Hong Kong. Museveni is wise to eye his opponent's wardrobe choices with some nervousness.
And finally today, Monocle's Josh Fennett looks at how a proposed referendum in Venice could see the city sliced up.
Venice has always been divided from the rest of Italy, once by a millennium of independence, but today just by a stretch of salty lagoon. Now a vote on the 1st of December will decide whether the city's eastern reaches, the 100 or so scattered islands you see on postcards or from cruise ship portholes, should be governed separately from mainland Mestre, a rough and ready post-industrial port. The friction isn't new. The islands were only united with Mestre under fascism in 1926, and today some say the two sides of the city have little in common. But Venice Mayor Luigi Brugnaro, who's in favour of keeping the city together, is right to condemn this argument. Breaking up alliances promises quick fixes, but, as we're seeing with the environmental crisis, trade wars and the redrawing of treaties, smashing ties doesn't stop the rot. In fact, it usually diminishes the resources needed to deal with the issues at hand. Venice's historic centre is buckling with over-tourism and a dwindling population, however. 1,000 Venetians leave every day, and at least half of the population is aged over 65. A vote to split the historic city, however, would likely accelerate its decline and diminish its resources to fight the blight. It might also hamper Mestre's chance to cash in on its island cousin's 20 million visitors a year. A lose-lose scenario, if you ask me. For Monocle, I'm Josh Fennett.
That's all in today's program. You can read more about the stories you've heard today and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute returns on Thursday.